All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. A good chodesh. Perfect, I'm going to start. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month. Oh, actually, the last day for the month of Tishrei, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, the last day of Tishrei. Stephen Terry Zinn, in memory of their parents, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yosef HaKohen, Yentl Mindel Bas David Halevi Bunim Tzvi ben Chaim Devorah Bas Yisro. Our week of learning sponsors, the Weisbord family, in the merit of a refuah shlema for Dr. Weisbord, Aviva Bas Shena Chana. And our Dafyomi sponsor for today, Elisheva Engel, in memory of her mother, Vera Engel, Bela Bas Yisrael, Zichrono Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, the families in Nechama, and all those who need a refuah will have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. So also with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, and I apologize, we have to end, just a little bit early. Unfortunately, I have a levaya in Philadelphia, so just have to leave a little bit early, but in merit Hashem, we'll get through as much as we can, and it's always tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, always tomorrow. So we'll say, here we go. Today's daf is Ayin 70. We left off at the Gemara on Samech Tes Amud Beis 69b. So the Gemara says as follows. Remember, again, we're not going to go through the cases again in the Mishnah as we did them in yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, Beisahu da'asir ha'chatzer sharia. So one second, we'll say, remember again, referencing the first case in the Mishnah. So referencing the first case in the Mishnah, which was the individual who lives in a chatzer, where everyone in the chatzer made an Erev, but, Gabi, you could just, thank you. Where the individual went ahead and the individual did not join in the Eruv, and everyone else did. So the Gemara said the halacha was based so asr mila hachnis mila hotzi. In that case, ultimately, the individual is not permitted to carry in and out of his house. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Based who the asr hachatzer sharia. So I will say again, it's only his home that's problematic, but his chatzer is okay. What's the case? Hey, chidami. So we'll say, if the individual ultimately, again, yielded the rights in his home, then why is it usher for him, or for anyone else, for anyone else, to carry in and out of his home? And if he did not yield his rights, chatzero amai sharia, then halacha lamaisa, why is his chatzer permitted to take in and out of? To which the Gemara says, "Alchemai askinon, what's the case? Kigon shebital rishus chatzero, for the bital rishus beso." Oh, the both said the case in question over here is as follows: where the individual, remember again, our case is the individual called Ruvain is living in a chatzer. Everyone else in the chatzer joined in an eruv. But Reuven did not. So what does Reuven do? He, as we spoke about extensively yesterday, he yields the rights of his property. What the Mishnah is introducing to us is the concept that a person could yield the rights in their chatzer, but will still retain the rights in their home. An incredible idea. See, even though we normally link a home and a chatzer together, the Mishnah now is dividing those two real estate rights, that a person could yield his rights in his chatzer while retaining the rights in his home. So the Gemara says, "V'kasavi rabbanon hamavato rishus chatzero rishus beso lo bital." Because the rabbis hold that even when one yields the rights in his chatzer, he does not yield the rights in his home. Why? The dayer inish bebayis below chatzer. Because they will say it's common for a person. Well, it might not be common, but it's possible for a person to live in a home without a chatzer. As I will say, as much, and halacha kind of goes both ways on this. Because sometimes you'll find that halacha indicates that there's no such thing as a home without a chatzer. But when push comes to shove, a person could retain rights in a home without retaining rights in a chatzer. The shalahen mutter. So therefore, again, the case in the Mishnah is where the individual ultimately went ahead and yielded the rights. Did something wrong? Sorry. Where the individual went ahead and yielded the rights in his chatzer, but retained the rights in his home. What does that do for our case? What that does for our case is it allows everyone else in the chatzer to carry in and out of the chatzer, because the individual Reuven who didn't participate in the Erev, it's as if he's not there. But Lamaisa, again, he still has his rights in his home. So listen to this, Rabbi. The Gemara says, V'shalahen mutr lo v'lahen. Rabbi, this is fascinating. So the Mishnah says, in this case, Reuven didn't participate in the Eruv. So what does he do? He yields his rights in the Chatzar to the other members of the Chatzar. The Mishnah then says, Reuven cannot carry from his home into the Chatzar, but he can carry from the chatzar to the homes of the other people, and from the other people's homes into the chatzar. What's the pshat with that? My taima, dahabi oreach legabayu. Because it was say, interestingly enough, when Reuven yields his rights in the chatzar to the other members of the chatzar, he becomes like a guest of the other residents of the chatzar. So because of that, he is permitted to carry from their homes into the chatzar, and from the chatzar into their homes. The only thing Reuven is not allowed to do is what? Is what? Carry from the chatzar into his home, or from his home into the chatzar. Quite amazing. Next case in the Mishnah. Nasnu lo reshusan, hu mutar vehina surin. So we'll say second case in the Mishnah was same thing. Reuven didn't participate in the Eruv, but in this case, Rabbi Rabbo said the other members of the Chatzar all yield their rights to Reuven. So what's Talacha? Hu mutar vehina surin. He is permitted. They're all asur. I've been a heavy inhu legabe ki archin. So what's about? I don't understand. Why don't we just treat the other members of the Chatzar just like Reuven's guests? In other words, in the previous case, where everyone else made an Erev, Reuven didn't participate. So Reuven is mevatel his rishos. And it will say, what's talacha? Although he cannot carry from his home into the chatzar, from the chatzar into his home, he can carry from everyone else's home into the chatzar, from the chatzar into their homes. Why? Because Reuven is reckoned as their guest. So why not say the reverse is also true? That when the other members of the chatzar yield their rights to Reuven, although they cannot go ahead and carry from their homes into the chatzar, from the chatzar to their homes, they should all be able to what? Carry from Reuven's home into the chatzar, from the chatzar into Reuven's home, let them be like Reuven's guest. To which the Gemara says, Chamisha havi oreach. I'm sorry, chad legabe chamisha havi oreach. Chamisha legabe chad lo havi oreach. We'll say, because one person could be a guest of five people. Five people aren't the guest of one person. Shema minabu, what do you see from this? Mevatlin v'chozun mevatlin. I will say, what you do see from this case in the Mishnah, see, it's actually quite interesting. The Gemara reads the Mishnah as like a progression. That case one happens, then case two happens, and this is all happening on the same Shabbos, which would indicate that what? That on any given Shabbos, you could be mevatl yerushus, you could yield, take back, yield, take back. To which the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar, nasnu lo reshusan me'ikara, hu mutar ve'nasran. To which the Gemara says, no, we'll say, the Mishnah doesn't mean to indicate that all of these cases are occurring on the same Shabbos. These are all separate and distinct cases. So Rabbi Osei, so just so you appreciate, again, the way these halachos are building. Yesterday, I think we went extensively into the halachos of bittul reshus. From here, we're beginning to see another fascinating add-on to what we saw yesterday, which is that if one person didn't participate in the Eruv, and he yielded his rights to the other members of the Chatzar, we passing that what he's really yielding is what? What is he yielding? The rights in the Chatzar. What is he retaining? The rights in his home. So what that means practically is he cannot carry now from his home into the Chatzar, from the Chatzar into his home, but amazingly enough, he can carry from the chatzar to the other resident's home and from the other resident's home to the chatzar. Why? Because now once he yields his right in the chatzar, he's viewed as a guest of the other members of the chatzar. Good. The Gemara goes weiter. Hayu shnayim osin zelze. If there are two people who didn't participate in the Eruv, they prohibit one another. Pshita, isn't that obvious? We'll say, what's the case? The case is where one of the individuals went ahead and subsequently yielded his rights to his friend. So we'll say, if there are two people who didn't participate in the Eruv, you might have thought that if one mevatels his rishus to the other, that therefore it should be permitted. So we'll say, listen to this. When you have two people who did not participate in the Eruv, Rabbi say that poses a problem. Why? Because Lamaisa, because they are two, therefore Lamaisa, at the onset of Shabbos, neither of them had the ability to properly use the chatzar. So because neither of them had the ability to properly use the chatzar, therefore halacha lemaisa, even a subsequent yielding of rights will not give either of them the ability to carry in that chatzar. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Kamash malon, delo dami de'ilu hasam kol chad v'chad nevatalei reshusei. Aval hacha, kevan deshar b'nei ha-chatzar lav lahay defayish l'chudei batli el tarvayhu ki hader chad u'batas. We'll say, what is Rashi saying over here is as follows. If the members of the chatzar mevatal the reshus to one person, that works. But if the members of the chatzar are mevatal the reshus to two people who did not join in the Eruv, that does not work. Because effectively, those two individuals prohibit upon each other. So because they prohibit upon each other, therefore the yielding of the Bnei HaChatzar to those two people will not work. She'echa nosin rishus. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, excuse me, for one person has the ability to yield his rights. Hasulamli, so we'll say, why do I need this extra phrase? E no sin tanina. If you want to tell me that one person could yield his rights, we already learned that. E no tel tanina. And if you want to say that one person could receive rights from someone else, we learned that as well. To which the Gemara says, Seifa shrichale. I need the last part of the Mishnah. Shnayim nosin rishus. That two people have the ability to yield their rights. Hanami pshita. But that's also obvious. Maldutema, what would you have thought? Top of ayin, ligzar dilma asi levatule lehu. So I say, you might have thought as follows. Two people could yield rights. Two people can't receive rights. So I say, just to clarify this, why can't two people receive rights? So I say, listen to this. Remember, let's go back to our first case. Everyone in the chatzah, we all live in one chatzah. All of you participated in the Eruv except for me. So I say, so now I'm stuck. So what does the Mishnah say? What can everybody do? Everyone, all of you, could yield your rights to me. Now, both say, what happens if you all yield your rights to me? That makes the chatzar belonging to one person. So what could everyone do? Everyone could carry from my home into the chatzar. Can't carry from their homes, they're carrying them from my home into the chatzar. So both say, that's everyone yields their rights. So both say, what you can't do is, the whole chatzar can't yield their rights to two people. Because if two people, let's say Reuven and Shimon didn't participate in the Eruv, the rest of the members of the chatzar yield their rights to Reuven and Shimon. What happens then, Abosai? See, the problem is now Reuven and Shimon both own the rights. What's the problem? But Reuven and Shimon themselves aser one another. So it's very nice that they receive the rights from everyone else, but Lamaisa, they prohibit one upon the other. So therefore, the act of yielding rights to two people who themselves did not participate in the Eruv accomplishes absolutely nothing. So the Mishnah teaching, however, two people who did not participate in the Eruv can yield their rights to everyone else. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is like this. I might have thought that we shouldn't let two people yield their rights, lest what? Lest what? Lest the Bnei Chatzar come to cede their rights to the two. Kamash, well, we're not worried about that. So two people could yield rights, even though two people can't receive rights. Top of ayin. Ein notlin rishus. So the Gemara says, ve'ein notlin rishus, but two people cannot go ahead and receive rights from the rest of the members of the Chatzar. Lamali, why do I need this phrase? Lo tzricha, afagav da'amrile kini amanas lahaknos. Because we'll listen to this. Let's say you were to go ahead and yield the rights of every... The Bnei HaChatzar would yield their rights to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon didn't participate in the Eruv. So the Bnei HaChatzar yield their rights to Reuven and Shimon. But let's say, we'll say, watch this. Let's say when they yield their rights to Reuven and Shimon, they say, Reuven and Shimon, we're yielding these rights on the condition that Reuven, you subsequently yield your acquired rights to Shimon. Which I will say then at the end of the day makes the chatzar the property of one person. I might have thought that this works, to which the Gemara says, no, it doesn't work. Even though you make this stipulation, it still doesn't work to yield to two people. Incredible. So, listen to this interesting case. Chamisha sheshurim b'chatzar achas. Supposed to listen to this. Five people live in one chatzar. V'shachach achmem velo irev. And Reuven forgot to participate in the Eruv. So we'll say, so again, we'll say, now you're all bikimanis. It's very easy. What happens when one person forgets to go ahead and participate in the Eruv? How do you rectify that situation? Yield rishos. See, just give up your rights. We'll say, and by the way, I just want to point out, somebody, I think I was talking with Menachem about this yesterday, or someone after Mincha, right before Maariv yesterday. Remember, just to be clear, when you yield your rights, what does that mean? What can't you do? You can't carry. Right? It doesn't mean you don't have access. This is very important. So when Reuven forgets to participate in the Eruv, so in order not to mess, so right now, his non-participation is messing over everyone else. So the only way to salvage caring for everyone else is how yield your rights in your chatzar. All that means is Reuven can't carry into the chatzar. Reuven can go in and out of the chatzar. That's not a problem. He just can't carry. So isn't this interesting, Shaila? So Reuven didn't participate in the Eruv. He's going to yield his rights. So what's the Shaila? Kishu mevatel rishu sotzar chavatel chol echa ve'echad. Oh, no. Listen to the Shaila. So we'll say, now there are five people in the chatzar. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. Reuven forgot to participate. He's going to yield his rights. So Shmuel said, what's the shayla? Does he have to yield his rights to every member of the chatzar? Or is it enough to what? To what? Yield it to one. I yield it to one on behalf of the Bnei HaChatzar. So the Gemara says, Amrlei. So this is a bai asking Rabbah. Rabbah says, Rabbah says, no, you have to yield to every member of the chatzar. It's not enough to yield to one, you have to yield to every single member of the chatzar. Say, Sabai is the kasha. Echad shelo ireid no sinu shusola echad shiir. You're supposed to listen to this. The Braisa now here is going to go through a series of cases, like 7-8 cases. We're going to analyze each of them separately. Only one of these cases is actually being brought as part of this discussion. So here we go. Echad shelo ireid no sinu shusola echad shiir. You're supposed to say someone who didn't participate in the Eruv could yield his rights in the Chatzar to someone who did participate in the Eruv. Shtayim she'eravu. No sinu shusun echad shelo ireif. Similarly, two people who did participate in the Eruv could yield their rights to one person who did not participate in the Eruv. Ushnayim shelo ireavu. Two people who didn't participate in an Eruv. No sinu shusun l'shnayim she'eravu. Could yield their rights to two other people who did participate in the Eruv. Only echad shelo ireif. Or they could yield their rights to one person who did not participate in the Eruv. Aval, lo echad she'irev, no sin reshus ola echad shlo irev. Rabbi says, someone who did not participate in the Eruv cannot yield his rights to someone else who did not participate. That's the case that we saw before. Because remember, again, Rabbi says, those two people asked upon each other. We'll explain this in just a moment. Vein shnayim she'irevu, no sin reshus ola shnayim shlo irevu. Similarly, two people who did not participate in the Eruv cannot yield their rights to another two people who did not participate in the Eruv. Vein shnayim shlo irevu, Nostin Rishusan, Lishnayin Shelo Irvu. And what's this? Only two people who did not participate in the Eruv cannot yield their rights to another two people who didn't participate in the Eruv. Now, we'll say, now again, the only reason we're bringing this up is because of the first case. Katani Mihas Reisha, Echad Shelo Irev, Nosin Rishusola Echad She Irev. Rabbi say, what was the first case out of these seven? What was the first case? Someone who did not participate in the Eruv could yield his rights to someone who did participate in the Eruv. Now, Rabbi said, now watch this. If you're yielding your rights to someone who did participate in the Eruv, what does that automatically tell you? How many people are part of this narrative? At least three. Right? Because remember again, if I'm yielding my rights to someone who participated in the Eruv, that must mean that what? There's at least one other person. That's a total of three people. Right? Because most of them, again, remember, to yield my rights to someone who participated in an Eruv, that means that person is making an Eruv with someone. So therefore, again, when the first case says that Reuven, who didn't participate in the Eruv, could yield his rights to Shimon, who did participate in the Eruv, means that what? There's at least what? There's at least a Levi in this equation. But what do you see? What do you see? The Gemara says, Hey Chidami, Idaleka Achrina Bahadei Bahadi Man Arif. So we'll say, if Lemaisa is not a third person, so who did Shimon make an Eruv with? Elapshita Deika Achrina Bahadei. Rather, it must be that what? That there's at least, right, a Levi as well. That if Reuven is yielding his rights to Shimon, there's at least gotta be one other guy, a Levi, in the Chatzar. And what do you see from here? V'katani le'echad she'irev. And Rabbi said, the Braisa says that what? That when Reuven wants to yield his rights in the Chatzar, he could yield it to Shimon. But he need not what? He need not what? Do it to Levi as well. Which Abai says, teaches you that, Rabbi say. When you want to yield your rights in the Chatzar, you need not yield your rights to every member of the Chatzar. All you need to do is yield it to one member of the Chatzar. He represents the group, and that's all. So we'll say, fundamental machlokes Abai in Rabbah. So Rabbah says that no, when you yield your rights, you have to go ahead and yield it to every single member of the Chatzar. Rabbah seemingly proving that you don't have to do that. Rabbah will say, no, hachamayaskinon. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Rabbah says you have to yield to every member of the Chatzar. Abai seems to bring a proof that you don't have to. Rabbah will say, Rabbah. Hachamayaskinon, what's the case here? Dehava umis. Oh, Rabbah said, no, the case is where there were three guys in the Chatzar. There are three guys in the Chatzar. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon and Levi joined in an Eruv together. Reuven didn't. Reuven now is yielding his rights to Shimon. Why doesn't he have to yield his rights to Levi as well? Simply, Baruch Tayyad Emes, Levi is dead. So because Levi is dead, that's why Shimon, that's why Reuben doesn't have to yield his rights to him. So the Gemara says, so how am I asking on Dehava Umis? Twitching us 1 second. E Dehava Umis, if that's how you're setting up this case, that there was a third person, but he died. Ema Seifa. Look at the end of the race. Aval Ein Echad She'irev. No sin Rishu Social Le'echad Shelo Irev. Then we'll say, what do we say? That's someone who did not join in the Eruv. Ein Echad She'irev. Someone who joined in the Eruv cannot go ahead and yield his Rishus to someone who didn't make an Eruv. V'idahava Umis. But if you're setting up the case where ultimately there were three people, and Levi, the third individual, died, Amai Lo. We'll say, why can't the person who made an Eruv, why can't the person who made an Eruv go ahead and yield his rights to the person who didn't make the Eruv? Why not? Elabshita di ise. Rather, we'll say, must see that the Seifa case is talking about where there were three people who were all alive, who made the Seifa ise, and if the Seifa is talking about three cases, a case of three people who are alive, Reisha nami ise. The Reisha must also be talking about a case where there are three people who are alive. And therefore, we'll say the Reisha case would be that when Reuven, who didn't participate in the Eruv, wants to yield his rights to Shimon, even though, again, he only needs to yield his rights to Shimon and doesn't have to yield his rights to Levi, which would support Abaye and pose a kasha to Rabba. To which the Gemara says, Mide Iria, Hakidisa, Vahakidisa. But the other possibility is, each case of the Brisa is different. Just because the case of the Reisha is talking about a case where maybe there were three people, one died. In other words, we'll say, essentially what the Gemara is saying is, each of the cases mentioned could be governed by a different set of circumstances. Teda, after all, Diktani Seifa, look at the end of this price. I'm sorry, Diktani Seifa Dereisha, Ushnaim Shalo Irvu, Nostin Rishusan Lashnaim She'irvu. The Rabbi will say, ultimately, two people who did not join in an Eruv could go ahead and yield their rights to two people who did make an Eruv. To which the Gemara says, L'shnayim in le'echad lo. So it seems to indicate that in order to yield rights, you can only yield your rights to two people, but not to one, which would seem to indicate, like Rabba, that when you yield rights, you have to yield rights to all the members of the Chatzar. To which the Gemara says, le'echad lo. Ba'abai Amar Abai would say, my le'beis, what does it mean to both? Le'echad mi beis. It doesn't mean to both, rather it means you could yield your rights to one of the two. Ihachi, listeni le'echad she'irev o le'echad shelo irev. If that's the case, then why don't you state that more explicitly? To which the Gemara says, kasha. That's a good kasha. Echad shelo irev. No, so we'll say, so that's the machlokes, Abaye and Rabba. Again, we're going to come back to that machlokes. We're going to see that lochemais in just a moment. We'll just finish up the sugya. First, we'll finish up this braisa. But we'll say, but it's a fundamental machlokes. When yielding your rights in a chatzar, do you have to go ahead and yield to every member of the chatzar or not? So Rabba says, yes, you must actively yield your rights to everyone. Abaye says, no, one person on behalf of the chatzar is enough. Next, echad shelo irev, no sein reshuso le'echad she'irev. So we'll say, so continuing on the machlokes. So if one person didn't make an Erev, one person didn't participate, he can go ahead and yield his Rishos to one person who made the Erev. So the Abaye will structure this case, La Abaye di Ise. According to Abaye, there's more than one person who participated in the Erev, obviously. And the person is still alive. Yet the Brice is teaching me that all you have to do is yield your rights to one person. And the Brice is teaching me that when yielding your Rishos, you need not yield your rishus to every single member of the chatzar. The Rabba, the Hava Umis. According to Rabba, ultimately, there was another member of the chatzar, but he died. The Lo Gazer, Zimnin Di Ise. And I will say, we're not worried that if we allow you to go ahead and yield your rights to this one surviving member, that you're going to come to only yield rights to one person when the other members of the group are alive. Ushnayim She'irvu, Nostin Rishusan La'echad Shalo Irev. And we'll say, the Brisa goes on. Still getting in this machlokes. Two people made an Erev. They could go ahead and yield their rights to one person who did not make an Erev. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Ma'udetema, Kevin delo Erev liknise. So we'll say, I might have thought as follows. I might have thought that since the individual didn't make an Erev, we should knas him, we should penalize him, and therefore you should not be able to yield rights to him. Kamash malan, that we don't penalize. Obey shalo irvu, nosin or shusin l'shtaim she'irvu. Similarly, again, two people who didn't participate in the Eruv, we can go ahead and yield their rights to two people who did participate. So the Rabba, tani seifa l'gulei reisha. What's according to Rabba? Ultimately, again, we only mentioned the latter case in order to shed light on the earlier case. La Abaye, Beis Shelo Irvo Itzrichale. According to Abaye, I need this case of the two people who didn't participate in the Erev. Why? Sagadait Chamina, Ligzer Dilma Asi Levatule Lahu. You might have thought that Alocha Lamaisa, you shouldn't allow them to yield their Rishos, lest you come to go ahead and cede Rishos to them. Kamash Malon. Now we're not worried about that. Ola echad shelo irev lamali. So we'll say the next case that or they could go ahead and yield it to one person who didn't participate in the erev. Why do I need that case? Ma'udetema hanim yidihecha demiktsasan erev mitzasan lo ervu. I might have thought this only works in the case where some made an erev, some didn't. Aval hechon de kulan lo ervu. But I'm also in a case where none of the members of the chatzar made an erev. Liknesinhu. We should knas them, penalize them. Don't allow anyone to yield their property rights to anyone. And therefore, we'll say, no one can carry on Shabbos. Kadesh lo tishtachach toras eruv. In order that eruv not be forgotten. Kamash malon, that again, we'll say, we don't penalize. Aval in echad she'irev, no sin rushusul le'echad shelo irev. But one person, in echad she'irev, one person who made an eruv, cannot go ahead and yield his rights. So we'll say that Abaye, according to Abaye, Tana Seifa Legaluya Resha. We quote this latter case to shed light on the earlier one. The Rabbah, I did the Tana Resha, Tani Nama Seifa. According to Rabbah, ultimately, because since we went ahead and we stated the earlier case, we have to state the latter case as well. So we'll say, all going back to the Machlokes Abaye and Rabbah about the mechanics of yielding Rishos. According to Rabbi, you have to yield to every single member of the chatzar. According to Abaye, only one. Ve'ein shneim she'irvu, no sin rishus and l'shneim shelo irvu. And two people who made an eruv could yield their rishus. And two people who made an eruv cannot yield their rishus to two people who did not. Hasulam, we already learned this. We learned this concept over and over. You cannot yield rights to two people who did not participate in the Erev. Why? Because we'll say it doesn't accomplish anything. Because if you yield rights to two people who did not participate in the Erev, what happens? They answer one upon the other. So the yielding of the rights to those individuals accomplishes nothing. Hasulam, so why do I need to repeat this again? To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, tebatalei chad minayel lechavrei. We'll say, because what's the case? You yield to Reuben and Shimon, neither of them participate in the Erev, and then Reuven subsequently yields his right to Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Mal detema lishteri." You might have thought, therefore, this should be permitted. Kamash malon no. Kamash on kevon de beina de batal lo habeshar yusabai chatzer lo. Hi chatzer lo. So we'll say, since at the time when you yield the rights to the two, neither of them have rights in the chatzer because they both asra upon each other. Therefore, the case does not work. Ve'ein shnayim shelo ervu nosin rishus l'shnayim shelo ervu. Similarly, Rabbi will say two people who did not participate in the eruv cannot go ahead and yield to two others who did not participate in the eruv. Both say so. It's the same case. Hasu lamali l'tzicha de amri kini amenas lahaknos. Ultimately, we'll say, what's the case? The case is where they yielded it. They yielded it to Reuven, let's say, and they said, Reuven, acquire it on, or they yielded it to Reuven and Shimon, and they say, but Reuven, when you acquire it on behalf, or acquire it on the condition that you're going to yield it to Shimon. So we'll say, so with these two-person cases, anytime you're yielding property rights to two people who did not participate in the Erev, it never works. It never works. And I'm going to say, it's very logical. Because if you yield, if the Bnei HaChatzar yield their rights to Reuven and Shimon, who did not participate in the Eruv, both say Reuven and Shimon, by definition, asur upon each other, right? Because remember, again, you have two individuals, ultimately, again, who now, once they acquire the property rights from the rest of the members of the Chatzar, they can't do anything with it because they asur upon each other. Therefore, that type of yielding does absolutely nothing. So we'll say, before we go on to the next case, which is incredibly riveting and fascinating, how do we pass in this case? Because this is very important. The mechanics now of Bittul Rishus, when you yield your property, to your rights in the Chatzar, to the other members of the Chatzar, in order to go ahead and, we're all one big happy Chatzar family. I didn't participate in the Erev. I just forgot. So now what happens? But I don't want to aser on the rest of you. So I'm going to yield my rights in my chatzar to the rest of the Bnei HaChatzar. So I'll say, how do I do that? Do I have to go to each individual and yield my rights to each of you? Or can I go ahead and yield my rights to just one of you? And once I yield my rights to one of you, so listen to this, Rabbi Sai, Simin Shin Pei, Arachayim, Sif Aleph. So we'll say if one of the members of the chatzar didn't participate in the eruv, oser alehem. So obviously we'll say my non-participation in the eruv, of course, ruins it for the rest of you. Now none of you could carry in the chatzar from your own to the chatzar because I didn't participate in the eruv. So matakanosim. So how do I fix this? Yibat alehem reshuso. I have to yield my rights, my property rights, to the rest of you. Sheyomar reshusi mevutelas lachem o kinuya lachem. I say my reshus is bottled to you. It's acquired by you. Vein tzarich liknos bekinyan. So the Rebbe says, saw this in yesterday's daf. I don't need a formal kinyan. I don't need a formal kinyan. All I need is a declaration. V'yachol levatel af mishatechshach. And by the way, yesterday's daf also, I could yield my property rights even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. So I just need a declaration. I don't need a kinyan. I can do it even on Shabbos. Watch this. V'im dar im dalur ohei. What happens if there's a bunch of people in the chatzar? Tzarech levata lechol echad ve'echad v'paskin like Rabba. You have to yield your property rights to every single member of the chatzar. V'cheyomar reshusim uvutelas lecha ulecha. However, v'yesh omrim shedai sheyomar reshusim uvutelas lekulchem. So I'll say, interestingly, if the Shulchan Aruch gives a potential caveat, he says that Halacha Lamaisa, maybe you could just make a plural declaration. So ideally, you want to be mevat, you want to yield your property rights to every single person individually. But if you make a collective statement, Rishusi mevutelas lekulchem, my property is hereby yielded to all of you, collective statement, some say that works. And bita Rishusa stam lo bita Rishusa shesha b'chatzar. So I'll say, furthermore, if I just stam mevatel my Rishus, what am I yielding my rights to, Rabbi Osei? Very important. When I yield my rights, what am I yielding my rights to? The chatzar. Hilchach, heimur tam lochotzi mi batein lechatzar, v'gam hu shu orech ba'alma, aval asur lochotzi mi beis lechatzar. V'gam hu, so let's listen to this. Saloch lamaisa, when I yield my rights in my, I'm only yielding my rights in my chatzar, so we pass like the Rabbanon, which means what? The Rabbanon divide between the rights in your home and the rights in your chatzar. When you cede your rights for your purposes, what are you ceding? What are you yielding? What are you giving up? You are giving up the rights in your chatzar. What are you retaining? What are you retaining? The rights in your home. And furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch goes on and says, when you yield your rights, Rabbi Osei, that means you cannot carry from your home to the chatzar, from the chatzar to your home, but where can you carry? You can carry from the homes of the other residents into the chatzar, and from the chatzar into their homes. Why? Because you are like their guests. Rabbi Osei, a number of very important pieces of halacha lemaisa. Number one, all that's needed for yielding rights is a declaration. Number two, no kinyan. Number three, you could even do it on Shabbos. Number four, when you yield rights, you only yield rights in your chatzar, not in your home. Number six, you should really ideally go ahead and yield those rights to every single individual. Number seven, if you went ahead and you made a collective statement, Rishusim will tell us the kulchem, apparently that appears to work. Number eight, although you cannot carry from your home to the chatzar, from the chatzar to your home, you can carry from the home to the chatzar, from the chatzar to the other residents, because you are like their guest. That's the halacha l'maisa. Good, Rabbi Osei Vayter. Now we come to another incredible case, quite fascinating. Boy Minei, Rabbi Osei, last line, Ayin Amud Aleph. Boy Minei, Rav Merav Nachman, Yoresh Ma'u Sheivat Rosh. Supposed to listen to this interesting case. Here's the case. Yaakov owned property. Yaakov owned property. Oh, let's keep it easy. Avram owned property. Supposed to say, what happened? Before Shabbos, Avram forgot to join in an Eruv. He didn't join in an Eruv. So what, he lives in a chatzar, he forgot to join an Eruv. Avram dies on Shabbos. Yitzchak, his son, is his Yoresh. Yitzchak, his son, is supposed to say, so now what happens? So Avram didn't join in an Eruv, nor did he yield his property to the other members of the chatzar. Avram dies. Yitzchak effectively inherits the property on Shabbos. So what's the Shiloh? Can Yitzchak be mevatel his newly inherited property on Shabbos? Can mevatel his newly, that's the Shiloh. Amud Beis, I'll say Amud Beis. So let's analyze this. Heichad di boy le'eruv me'esmol matzi me'arev betuli nami matzi mevatel. So I'll say, do we say that, I'll say essentially, bitul reshus is the other side of the coin of eruv? In other words, we'll say that when can you yield your property rights? in any situation where you had the ability to enter into an Eruv, but you didn't do so, for whatever the reason, that's when you have the ability to be Mavatal Yerushos. But any time you don't have the ability to enter into Eruv, you also don't have the ability to be Mavatal Yerushos. So in this case, Yitzchak, did Yitzchak have the ability to enter into an Eruv yesterday? Did he? No, why not? It wasn't his. He can't enter into an Eruv, property that's not yours. So because it wasn't his, he didn't have the ability to enter into an Eruv on Erev Shabbos. Therefore what? The Gemara says, Lo Matzi Mevatel. Therefore now, Rosi, and I remember, this is very important, because what did we just say? We just pointed out, the question over here is not if you can be Mevatel your Rishus on Shabbos. We just saw in the Shulchan Aruch, you can yield property rights on Shabbos. That's not the problem. The issue of here, Rabbi Rosi, is you're effectively gaining title to property on Shabbos. So I didn't have rights in this property Erev Shabbos. So the Shaila is, can I be Mevatel Rishus on property that I own on Shabbos, that I did not own Erev Shabbos? So do we say Bitul Rishus is the other side of the coin of Erev, where you're able to enter into an Erev Shabbos, you could be Mevatel Rishus even on Shabbos, but if you weren't able to enter into an Erev Shabbos, you can't be Mevatel Rishus on Shabbos. Therefore, Yitzchak the Yoresh, was unable to enter into an Erev Shabbos because the property was not his. Because it wasn't his, therefore, halacha lemaisa, he is not permitted to be mevatel Rishus on Shabbos. Odama, yoresh kari da'abuohu. We'll say, or perhaps you should say like this. Yoresh, an inheritor, is literally like the thigh, like the leg of his father. So they both say, a son who inherits his father, or in general, an inheritor, is an extension of the deceased. So essentially, they both say, When Avram dies, Yitzchak slides directly into his place. He's an extension of Avram. And therefore, really, we view it as if Avram did have the ability to enter into an Erev on Erev Shabbos. Avram, therefore, did have the ability to go ahead and be Mevatel Ezer Shos on Shabbos. Yitzchak slides right into the place of Avraham. And therefore, he does have the ability to be Mevatel Ezer Shos on Shabbos. Amarlei. So we'll see. It's a good Shiloh. Amarlei. Ani Omer. Bless you. Amarle ani Omer Mevatel. So he said, I say, this was, remember again, this was a Shiloh, this was Rabbah asking from Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, I think that Yitzchak does have the ability to go ahead and be Mevatel the Rishos on Shabbos, which Rabbah say essentially means that Yitzchak, Rabbah say, by the way, this is also, you should just know, it's a fascinating Shiloh, not just about Erevin, it's a fascinating Shiloh in general, Lagabe estate law. Gabi said, Lagabi inheritance. How do you view an inheritor? And I will say, by the way, this has many, many ramifications, most of which I will say has to do with what? What the inheritor's obligations are vis-a-vis what? Debts of his father. Which is actually just in general, okay, we'll focus on Erevin now. So we'll say, so therefore again, Rav Nachman said, I hold Yitzchak, right, inheritor is like the leg of his father, like the thigh of his father. And therefore, has the ability to mevatel the Rishos on father. But in the yeshiva of Shmuel, right, the household of Shmuel, ultimately, again, they said that the Yoresh is not permitted to be mevatel. Because we'll say, the right of bittul only exists when you had the right of Erev on Erev Shabbos. But if you personally did not have the right of Erev on Erev Shabbos, like Yitzchak had no business entering into an Erev on Erev Shabbos, therefore he doesn't have the ability to be mevatel the Rishos. So there is the kasha. There is the kasha zaklal kol she mutter lemiktzas Shabbos hutter lechol haShabbos. We'll say that which is mutter for part of Shabbos is mutter for all of Shabbos. So we're going to explain what these principles mean. The kol she ne'esar lemiktzas Shabbos ne'esar lechol haShabbos. We'll say anything that is aser for part of Shabbos generally is aser for all of Shabbos. Chutz mimevatel rishos, with the exception of being mevatel your rishos. So we'll say, let's analyze this. This is quite fascinating. Kol shotel mikta Shabbos mutter l'chol Shabbos. So we'll say, what does it mean when we say anything that is mutter for part of Shabbos is mutter for all of Shabbos? What does that mean? Kigon irev derech haPesach v'nistam haPesach, irev derech cholon v'nistam haCholon. So let's listen to this case. Let's say you are merging two areas through an open doorway. I want to say, for example, let's say you have two chatzeros, right? Two courtyards that border each other. There's a wall between the two courtyards, but there's an entranceway, and you want to make an Erev joining the two courtyards through the entranceway. So Shabbos, before Shabbos, you make an error of utilizing that entranceway, or there's a wall, but there's a window in the wall. And you use the opening of the window to join the two chatzeros via an Erev. So let's say, so now what happens? Over the course of Shabbos, that entranceway gets stopped up, or the window is filled up. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? The halacha is that the courtyards are still considered to be joined. Why? Because that's the principle. Kol shehotu l'mikza Shabbos. As long as the opening was open at the beginning of Shabbos and allowed the two reshuyos to join together, even if something happens to the entranceway, to the doorway, to the window over the course of Shabbos, it's inconsequential. As long as it was permitted for part of Shabbos, that status remains for the entirety of Shabbos. Zeh klal, we'll say, what is that? When it says zeh klal, what does that come to include? La'asuyi mavoi shenitlu korosav l'chayim. We'll say, interesting. Same halach would apply. We'll say, if you have a mavoi, going all the way back to our beginning of our Erevin days. Let's remember again, a mavoi is what? A mavoi is that alleyway between chatzeros, right? You have homes that open up into a joint chatzer. Chatzeros open up into a joint alleyway. That alley, that mavoi, goes into the Rishus Rabin. But say, really, you're not allowed to carry with the mavoi unless you have what? A lechi or a korah. A vertical or a horizontal beam at the entranceway of the mavoi. What happens if you put that beam at the mavoi at the onset of Shabbos, but then something happens that is taken away over the course of Shabbos? So we'll say, what does the Braisa teach me? As long as the lechi or the korah were there at the onset of Shabbos, you're good to go. Even if something happens to it afterwards, don't worry about it. So we'll say, this is the klal. Kol shemutu l'mikza Shabbos, hutra l'chala Shabbos. As long as it was permitted at the beginning of Shabbos, it's permitted for the rest of Shabbos. What about the second klal? Kol shenasar l'mikza Shabbos, nasar l'chala Shabbos kula. We'll say, what about the second klal that says, anything that was asr for part of Shabbos is asr for all of Shabbos? What does that come to include? Kigon Shnei batim mishnei tider shramo. So this comes to include the following case. Let's say you have two homes that are across the Rosh Hashanah Rabin from each other. Veki from Nachrim mechitza b'Shabbos. Then I'll say, what happened? Nachrim, Gentiles come along and they built a wall around the two homes. So I'll say, so now what? So now the two walls of the two homes are enclosed. So I'll say, it's enclosed. If it's enclosed, then you can carry. You can carry. Why not, Rabbosai? Because at the onset of Shabbos, those homes were not enclosed by a wall and were separated by Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So since it started out Shabbos in an usher state, therefore what? That Issa remains. Zeakla la suye. My Rabbosai, when it says Zeakla, what does that come to include? La suye meis nachri b'Shabbos. So we'll say, watch this. If you have a nachri in your chatzar, you have a nachri in your chatzar. So remember again, if you have a nachri in your chatzar, what do you have to do? You have to lease his rights. Let's say you didn't. So I'll say, what happens if you don't lease the rights of the nachri? Then what? Can't carry the chatzar. What happens, Baruch Hashem, as the nachri dies? It doesn't matter. Once you started Shabbos in a state of Isser, then Isser remains. Vikatani. And I both say, but what do we say? What's the exception to this rule? So both say, in general, if you start out Shabbos in a state of Isser, then what? What's the general klal? The Isser remains. Even if circumstances change, the Isser remains. So you start out two homes in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Nachrim build a wall on Shabbos, doesn't matter. Since you started Shabbos, you can't carry. You have a chatzar where the Nachri lives, and you didn't lease his rights, but the Nachri dies, doesn't matter. Once you started Shabbos in a state of Isser, the Isser remains. Both say there's one exception to the rule. What's the exception to the rule? Vekatani chutz mi mevatol rishus. Both say the exception to the rule is, both say it's bitol rishus. What's that example? We all live in the chatzar. I didn't participate in the Erev. And before, I just did about this in the Erev. And now it's Shabbos. What can I do on Shabbos? Rabbi Osai, what can I do on Shabbos? I can yield my rights in the Chatzar to you. This is the exception to the rule. Even though now when Shabbos starts, none of us are permitted to carry in the Chatzar. On Shabbos, I can yield my rights to you. It's the one exception to the rule. Whereas normally we say, if you start Shabbos in a state of Isser, that Isser remains. The one exception to the rule is Bitul Rishus. Even though at the onset of Shabbos, none of us can carry in the Chatzar, on Shabbos, I can yield my rights to you, and now all of us, all of you can carry, unrestricted, I can carry with limitations. Not from my home to the Chatzar, but from your home to the Chatzar. So we'll say, but what do you see from here? Who's permitted to be Mevatel Rishus? Ihu in Yorei Shlo. But I will say, who's permitted to be, the Gemara is being Medayik, who can be Mevatel Rishus? Only the owner. Only the real owner. But someone who inherits property on Shabbos cannot yield their rights. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Emo, chutz mitoras bitul rishus. Rabbi will say, maybe what it means is that the exception to this rule is toras bitul rishus, that the laws of bitul rishus apply on Shabbos. The laws of bitul rishus go against this principle. Whereas the principle normally says, anything that is asr at the onset of Shabbos, what they will say, what? Remains asr. Bitul rishus is the exception. So first at glance we say, oh, who does it mean? It means the person who owned the property at the onset of Shabbos, he has the ability to be mevatel rishus on Shabbos, but a yorish cannot. To which the yorish, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it just means that the concept of bitul rishus applies on Shabbos, but it could apply to the original owner, or it could apply to the Yoresh as well. Therefore, Rabbi say, we're still back at the same place. So the fundamental machlokes that the Gemara is dealing with, Rabbi say, is what? Is halacha lemaisa, if Avraham dies on Shabbos, and Avraham didn't participate in the Erev, and Avraham did not yield his rights in his chatzar. Now what happens? Avraham dies on Shabbos, Yitzchak inherits his rights. So can Yitzchak yield rights on Shabbos? Fundamental machlokes. So Rav Nachman saying yes, the yeshiva, the students of the Beis Shmuel saying no, we'll end off with that machlokes, and Yiras Hashem, we will resolve it, b'shatol u'mitzlachos, tomorrow. Shkayach Rabosai, shkayach. Agun Chodesh. Just a reminder again, daf tomorrow, Yiras Hashem, 5:45 a.m., Shachris 6:30, Agun Chodesh.